Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to go inside the boardroom.
It probably is time. You know why? I respect anybody that was on the Warriors beat during those years.
And take a seat at the conference table.
Guru's great too.
Welcome to The Executive Show.
Nothing easy.
On 95.7 The Game.
We're going to Game 7, baby. Game 7!
All righty. Let's welcome in President of Basketball Operations and General Manager of the Golden State Warriors, Bob Myers. He joins us every other Tuesday or Wednesday on The Executive Show. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, what's up, Matt and John? Guru. No go on Guru today, huh?
Yeah, he's going to take the week off because he's got some family stuff. But
holiday
that's fine.
Goo. Holiday yeah. Goo, Bob.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Let's catch up just a little bit, Bob. And you know, Jermichael Green on Friday talked about the team getting together and addressing some elephants in the room, and he thought it was beneficial. Like, when did you find out? Or even, did you even know about them having a discussion? Do you facilitate something like that? Do you expect your leaders to kind of address it? What's your take on what happened on Friday before the Knicks game?
I talked to Draymond the day before, and he said he was going to talk to the team. And I asked him what he was going to say. He told me, and I thought that was good. But I wasn't sitting up there when he did it. It's funny because when you're around the team, there's a lot of, every game brings forth, you're either feeling good or not feeling good based on winning or losing, but there's a bigger picture to it. And if you're in the building, sometimes you can sense a time, and I think Draymond's been around the block long enough to know when that time should be. So I don't tell guys. If it was a different team, Matt, I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty unique team as far as guys that have been through a lot. So he thought it was the right time. He's pretty good at figuring that stuff out. I think he spoke for a while. And the important thing isn't what I think. It's how it lands with the players. And if they were saying it was effective, then it was. It's based on what I heard, seemed like it. But, again, that's a meeting. Now we got to do it on the court.
And Bob, but just as far as, you know, what's been reported and what the players individually have spoken about on the record, it sounds like a part of that was Draymond addressing Klay Thompson's play and even the shot selection. You know, Klay had addressed that Draymond had some words for him that he took to heart. Is this a big moment for Klay as far as maybe making an adjustment that needed to be made, hearing it from a respected teammate? And also, is there a component of Draymond's voice, given the incident with Jordan, starting to maybe carry some more weight again in your franchise?
Maybe both. You know, you'd have to ask each person, John, what they thought, but I would say that certainly based on what Klay has done since, that would bode well, the fact that he looks like he's responded. And I'm sure it wasn't the only person that's been telling Klay to try to keep it simpler and don't force it, but whatever reason, this one landed, like you said, in a way where it showed on the court. So certainly if he acknowledged it and he's showing the benefits of it, that's a positive. As far as Draymond's standing as a leader, yeah, I mean, I think he understands that based on what happened, you can't just walk right back in the room and assume that. But it's been a while. People are tired of on the team of the way we're playing. I'm sure the coaches are tired of it. And I think Draymond felt, I'm going to say something. And he does have a ton of equity within that room as far as what he's done. Certainly, I don't think he's proud of what he did on that day. But there's a lot of good that he's done, and a lot of times he's spoken to the team where they've responded. So, yeah, I think it was both of those things, John.
We're joined by Bob Myers, president of basketball operations and general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr was talking about how he thought he had to be a little bit of a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And just from, you know, doing this show for years and years, Bob, you know, just the last few weeks is, what's going on with Clay? What's going on with Kuminga and Wiseman? Is Jordan Poole up to something? Like, do you have an idea of what's going on with your team at any given moment? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
with everybody.
Yes and no, right? I mean, just like John, John memorizes our scores. I mean, you guys are pretty aware of our team in certain respects. You're not in the building, but I bet you vacillate at times with what we are, what we've met in the past, what we ended up doing in years past. The only years I really thought I had a sense of it is when we had Durant. I really thought we have the best team, bar none, and we should win. You don't walk around saying that, but I can say that in hindsight. That's not some big statement, by the way. But after that, or before that, I always felt like we'll see what happens. And it's usually better than you think or worse. We've had a lot of great moments and great years. But as far as this team, Matt, I don't know. It's a tough one because in some respects, we've got a little bit of evidence as to what we are. And in some respects, there's circumstances that make it hard to see if this is us, if this is the team. I see a lot of teams that we've played that I don't know. In my position, I don't know that we're worse than, but we've lost. So it doesn't matter what I think. Your record is your record, like a lot of people like to say. But as far as having a clear idea of it, I would say I don't have a clear idea of it. And I don't know that Steve would say the same thing or our players. Time still has to play out. It doesn't mean we're enjoying struggling in the early part of the season. Nobody likes that. But I think as far as giving you anything concise and clear, it's just hard to say right now. Some of it is self-inflicted stuff with the free throw disparity, with the turnovers. I think we'll get better at those things. Some of it is figuring out. I think they're trying Draymond a little bit more in the second unit. They're going to do that going forward to see how that plays out. So Steve would say that he's still searching for an identity in the second unit. And that's not some big statement. I think a lot of people would agree that's what needs to happen as well.
Bob, what do you take away from a game like last night where the young guys do get an opportunity? Obviously, the veterans get a chance to rest, but it goes the way that it did without really anybody playing well. And kind of the second part of that question would be, why is it more beneficial for James Wiseman to play for Santa Cruz as opposed to being in a game like last night once you guys make the decision to go with the resting of the veterans?
Hey, we thought about James, but we're trying to figure out some continuity with the guy because he's been so all over the place as far as playing, not playing, injured, not injured. And we're trying to figure out a way where he can grow a little bit with some consistency. And the idea of just flying him out and putting him back in Santa Cruz, we just net thought it would be better to stay there. A game like last night, sure, as many minutes as you can get, but we're trying to find a way where James can build. And we're hoping that can be down in the G League, and that's the plan. But a game like last night, John, what you'd like to see is a obviously smarter basketball, more disciplined. You'd like to see guys taking care of the ball. I mean, 26 turnovers. You'd like to see them, just make not the mental mistakes. You can stand some physical mistakes, missing shots and things like that, but you'd like to see the composure, and clearly that game got away from them, and nothing they wouldn't say themselves. We played much better the first time around in New Orleans and looked like that was something to build on. But, yeah, I mean, that's not one that you can find a lot of good things in, short of some guys played a lot of minutes. And I'm not gonna say there was a ton of positives to draw from that one.
Bob Myers joining us on 95.7 The Game. Bob, you've had a great run with the Warriors, no doubt about it. And the year you were 15-50, there was a reason you were 15-50. Then you came back the next year and went 39-33. Do you feel, so you're 8-10 this year. This is kind of the first time you've struggled with your full team. Like, are you feeling pressure now? Either do you put pressure on yourself, or does Steve put pressure on you to do something, or Joe put pressure on you? What are we doing here? What's going on? How much pressure do you feel?
I think everybody's different, but probably the most I get is from me, which is the most I feel. I mean, I think if you're in this type of stuff, it is competitive, and I've always been that way. I don't even know if it's a good thing, but I'm probably harder on myself than anyone else could be. But there's certainly people who are frustrated and want to win. As far as comparing this year to others, I think that the year that the 39 and 33, where you're kind of trying to figure it out, and finally we hit a rhythm. But you're right, that wasn't healthy. We are healthy, which gives you a better idea of what you are or what you're not. Every year is different, Matt. We went through last year. It was times last year where I just thought early on, wow, this thing is fantastic, and then we lose. I don't know. Do we go 500 for a big stretch of game? John, you know. Do we go like 20 and 20? What did we do? Wasn't it? I'm
18 curious. And 2 to start. Now yeah, he'll take over.
Yeah, it was 18 and 2 and what, 29 and 9, I think, at that point. So, yeah, from there it would have been.
And after that it was 500? Was that what it was?
Yeah, yeah, 24 and, yeah, I guess that would have been 24, maybe 24 and 24, something like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
So, you know. What does that mean? And then in the playoffs, figured it out. But Matt, that wasn't great either. If I'm looking back and saying, what did that feel like? Because we started so well, and then we kept trying to get it back, and then Clay came back. This is a tough. Sometimes this is a tough team to read a little bit. Not making excuses. So I don't feel whether it's Joe or Steve, they're just as competitive as I am. We're all competitive in different ways. We all want the same thing, and we've wanted the same thing for 8 years. For nine, this is Steve's ninth year, my 12th. We all know what kind of competitiveness Joe brings, Steve, myself. Mine is maybe not as demonstrative. But, yeah, I hate it. The losing sucks. And that's what motivates you to figure it out. But there's only two ways to figure it out. You either figure it out from within or you figure it out from some transaction outside of you. And we always look at everything. I know it's a canned answer, but we do it every year. Sometimes we make decisions, we make trades, sometimes we don't. But that's the job. And after a certain sample size and you're way into the season, you do have evidence of what you seem to be. I still think that's early. This is going to sound like I'm deflecting, but I still do think it's too early to really know. I think some of the things that we are struggling with, we can clean up within these walls. But we'll see. We'll see how that journey goes as the season continues.
Bob, what do you see as you look around the conference in particular? There's a lot of teams jumbled up, maybe some surprise teams that are playing better than you would have expected. But do you, in a way, at 8-10, feel fortunate that there aren't really any dominant teams in the West? I mean, you guys still have a shot to get it together and be in the mix where it looks like there's a pretty lengthy group of teams that might all kind of be in the mix.
Yeah, that helps. But I also might take a scenario where we were behind but playing as well as we could. So, you know, I think it's good that we haven't hit our stride and it seems to be that the West is open more so than maybe it has in the past. But I also would like to see us kind of hit our rhythm and culminate in some way where we have a better sense of what our best basketball looks like. So, yeah, nothing seems out of reach, which is good, but that doesn't that's part of the, I guess, supposedly solution to getting back to the top of the conference. But it also is us playing better basketball, and I think we're capable of that. So it's competitive. As far as the quality of play, I see a lot of teams playing extremely hard, which is great. I think the league is, the offenses now are so good and elite. You see these scores, you see the shot-making ability of some of these teams. You see a lot of the youth that is kind of making their way and making their mark in the league, and so it's pretty fascinating. You just don't know each night what's going to happen. And the West, and I can say the same about the East, John. The East is, you know, as competitive or more than the West right now.
Bob Myers joining us on 95.7 The Game. 2 weeks ago when we had you on, Bob, you asked, have we ever talked about the two timelines, meaning you or Joe or Steve? And I said I don't think so. I think that was something that may have been created outside. But here's my question. When you were drafting Kuminga and Wiseman, two really young guys with very little experience, were you guys thinking, okay, we're going to need them to help when Steph Curry's still in our prime, still in his prime? Or were you thinking, look, our core's getting older. We want some young players who at 24, 25 are going to be able to step in for the Curry, Clays, and Draymond as they're winding down. In other words, I think a lot of people thought you drafted those guys to help right away, and I'm asking you if you did or not.
Well, it's tough, Matt, because you draft what you think is the best player, and then you try to find a way to help them and help the team win, help them develop. But as far as a lot of the young guys, I think Moses is pretty young as well. you draft what you think is the best guy, and then you the challenge is to find a way to make them fit. And I think early on, at least in this season, we found that playing a lot of youth together wasn't looking very good. So you try to then find ways to what Steve has done a little bit with Kuminga, and I think James and Moses will get another chance as well. Is maybe not all at once, but you find pockets to get them some limited minutes and things like that. And I think that's more realistic for a 20, 21-year-old on a team like ours, which is pretty sophisticated offensively, which has a unique style, which a style that has done really well and worked, which has a pecking order where they're nowhere near, even in the top four, I suppose, of scoring. So it's teaching some of the young guys how to impact the game outside of scoring. And I think for a lot of young guys, that's the challenge. How do you impact a game when you're not scoring, coming from players that have scored their whole life and found that is the way for them to impact game is through scoring. So trying to teach them those types of things for young players in our system, but it takes time. So I don't know that we said this is what it's going to be. We more fell back on we drafted what we thought was the best player and see how that goes, Matt. But as far as how they could help us in the near term, the idea would be to kind of find moments and lineups that work, and I think we're still trying to figure that out.
Bob, I want to ask you about just Jonathan Kuminga specifically, because it, so often, and I think last night was no exception, he has the flash play with the chase down block on Zion, and he has the follow-up dunk, and it's like, wow. But then the rest of the game, you look at it, and it's kind of an ugly line, and he's still trying to figure things out. He's gotten opportunities to play, but just pinpoint what he has to do better to help this team in the short term, but also continue his development moving forward. It looks to the naked eye like maybe he's regressed a little bit.
Yeah, I think last year he played with some guys really smart. I think Andre, I don't know if Bielitsa, some of these guys helped him out. Obviously, the other guys that were in that unit were a good group for him and helped him. I think he's. It's tough for him or any young player to play 6 minutes and be worried about if you miss a shot. That's hard. And even Steve would acknowledge when he was a player, that's a tough role. And we even talked about it as far as even Steve, in a mature 28, 29-year-old, he'd go in and miss 1-3 and he'd sit down. So you're right there on that fringe. Probably tougher for a young player to work through that mentally than a more veteran guy. So as far as what he needs to do, I think he's rebounding is something he needs to do. As far as playing defense without fouling, don't turn it over. The simple basic stuff that you have to do very well when you're in short minutes. When you're playing 35, 36 minutes, you're allowed to make a few more mistakes potentially or miss some shots because you've earned that equity amongst your teammates, amongst the coaching staff. But when you're on short minutes and you're young, there's a part that makes it difficult. And I'm not, he'll figure it out, I believe, as will the other guys. But I think that's the challenge. John is trying to find that rhythm where you can come in and be effective in limited minutes. And obviously this year, because of the losing, I think there's a tightness around whether it's the second unit or even some of our first unit guys as far as trying to play a little more free without turning it over and fouling. And I think that's the fine line we need to locate here at some point.
See, I would think that you and Kuminga right now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, you'd be in his ear helping him. I mean, you were out of the rotation a lot at UCLA. Oh, you got it.
Agreed, Matt. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a really relevant point. I went in when we were, I tell people, when I could have no impact on the game, one way or the other. So they could have put in a band member. When you're up 30, or we weren't down 30 much, but when we were up, I could go in and I could do whatever I wanted, and the game would still be the same.
So all right.
I have no advice, although I will say on a serious note, talking to Kuminga, Sean Livingston's a really good person in his ear, as is Dunleavy, because you remember Mike when he showed up here, Matt, you were probably covering the Warriors. It wasn't a seamless transition.
No.
And he had to hear it from his coach, from the fans, probably the media. So Mike's actually pretty good. And then yeah, he went to another organization. He knows, he had 5 or 6, 8, 10 different coaches. So he's actually been good with Jonathan as far as saying, hey, look, just because this is the way it is now doesn't mean you can't work your way out of it. But it's hard for 20-year-olds to hear that and process it. So that's part of the mental hurdle you got to get over.
Well, don't tell Mike this, but the problem is Kuminga's a fan favorite.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
Well, no, Mike came in behind the eight ball. Let's put it that way.
He was the opposite of a fan favorite, right?
Yeah, but he came in behind the eight ball, kind of.
Tough draft.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make you stick it to Mike Dunleavy Jr. Day before Thanksgiving.
I love him. He's one of my best buddies. So
absolutely.
Like you said, it wasn't an easy entry, but you know what? The NBA is tough. It's a hard league sometimes.
Bob, thanks as always. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and Bob, just real quick, because I am a stickler for accuracy. I know you'll appreciate it. It was.
Yes, give it to me.
It was 41-13, 41-13, and then 12-16 to finish.
Yeah,
and then 16-6 in the playoffs.
During those moments, yeah, this is why John's good to have around. Steiny. This is why he's good.
You're right. It's like a great three guard offense. We got Poole, Clay, and Steph, but all in their primes. Yes. All right, man. Have a great Thanksgiving, you and the family, and we'll catch up soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take it easy.
That's Bob Myers talking about the Golden State of the Golden State Warriors.
I'd forgotten it was that high, actually.
What?
41-13.
I did, too.
On February 9th.
I thought, in fact, they got off to a good start, then stumbled, then got it together. But I guess they wouldn't have gotten it together their last 11 games because Steph wasn't playing those last 11
games. It was basically game one, round one.
Yeah.
And they got it going.
Yeah, it's interesting. Look, we got 3 or 4 minutes before the break, so we'll finish up here with some Warriors, and then we'll get back to the San Francisco 49ers with Ross Tucker on the other side. But that is a difference between, I mean, for whatever reason, Mike Dunleavy really caught flack here in the Bay, and I think it was because he didn't show a lot of emotion on the court. He just didn't. Never did. Never has. I think people took that the wrong way. But, Golden State Warriors, they're in action tomorrow night. L.A. Clippers are in town. Kawhi Leonard played last night. Your favorite player, Paul George, did not. So he must really be hurt if he didn't play.
It's that Clippers
in a game.
I think the Clippers have that internal rule that both of them can't actually play together.
Yeah.
So,
see, in the 707.
Be too much effort.
Gotcha. 707 saying we should have drafted Amari Stoudemire instead of Dunleavy. But he was ninth that year.
Was that the same year?
Yeah, I think it was. Oh, he was coming right out of high school. And you know what? Amari Stoudemire at that point, he had some baggage that a lot of people were concerned about.
Well, and let's be honest, who was going to be feeding Amari Stoudemire the rock on that Warriors team?
Bimbo Coles? Dean Oliver?
Was that
Muggsy Bogues?
Was that 03?
I don't know. I can't. What? Two oh three. I think was Muscle Man. I can't remember the years. I got to go backwards.
Six, it doesn't matter. It does.
Six seven. I mean, well, we don't have much time anyway. 6-7 was Nelson. Clearly,
right. We believe
Keith Smart
had a couple Montgomery years before that. Right. Wasn't Montgomery right before Nelson?
Yeah.
Mike Montgomery.
Where the hell did... So Keith Smart was after Don Nelson, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Keith Smart was
that's
like...
That's right.
Keith Smart was right before Mark Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
Keith Smart was in between Nelly and Mark Jackson.
That's right. That's right.
Nelly 2.0.
Who, Keith Smart?
Yeah, no. It was Nelly 2.0 era, and then Keith Smart, and then Mark Jackson, and then Steve Kerr.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
So before Nelly, it was Montgomery, and then that's where it gets a little murky.
Right, because, yeah, Montgomery, what happened was, I can explain this in a minute. What happened was the Warriors had a young team, and Chris Mullin hired Mike Montgomery, who was at Stanford, who's known as a very good teacher. And then the Warriors basically changed their roster. And Baron Davis came in, and Baron wasn't crazy about playing for a college coach.
Shocker.
Exactly. All right, we got one of our favorites coming up on the other side, Ross Tucker. We got to get into the San Francisco 49ers. They win last night. They're 6-4. And I don't know if you've been on social media or not, 49er fans, but there are a lot of experts and a lot of football people that say, 49ers may be the team to beat right now in the NFC. We'll see what Ross Tucker says on the other side. It's all sponsored by Outdoor Supply Hardware.
I got caught up in Garoppolo mania.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, John Dickinson in for Daryl, the Guru Johnson today. Keep in mind, 5 o'clock, Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. In the meantime, we got Ross Tucker, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Ross, how you doing, buddy? Don't have Ross yet? All right, we'll get Ross
pretty
in
soon.
Yeah. Anyway, Ross Tucker will be joining. See, I blew it. I didn't know we didn't have him. I was going to stick him with a one-liner, and I couldn't.
But now you can.
Well, if we get him on.
I mean, we are going to get him.
The 49ers game last night, JD, and the one thing I want to get into that we touched on a little bit, and it's that if you take McCaffrey off the 49ers, like they played the first 6 or 7 games, I guess it was, or 5 or 6, whatever it was, mm-hmm. like, did they have... Like, let me just ask you, what has Christian McCaffrey unlocked for the 49ers? And we may get Ross any minute, so I'll just jump to him. But what do you see as being different?
Well, it's just an alpha weapon that everybody has to account for. And even when you do account for him, he's still able to produce. Like, that. Like, not everybody can produce when all the attention is on him.
Well, you know what? You said something that I think... I agree with, but I think maybe 49er fan, when you said, hey, look, McCaffrey's a big boy.
He's their number
He's
one.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, he is their...
Not a star, a superstar. Best player on the team.
Yeah. The only thing that's held him back from being that is injury in
All
his
right.
career.
Let's go to Ross Tucker. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. Ross, we just bring you into this conversation. We're talking about Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, the 49ers put up some points last night. What do you think is the difference between the 49ers with McCaffrey as opposed to without him?
Good question. I think obviously gives them a little bit more depth as a runner. Now they got Mitchell. They'll give the ball to Debo sometimes. I think he's better than what they were getting from Jeff Wilson. Although I think Jeff Wilson's a pretty good player. I think the biggest thing is he's just a much better threat in the passing game and a weapon that needs to be accounted for in the passing game as opposed to Elijah Mitchell or Jeff Wilson. That's the biggest thing. It feels to me like not only can they get the ball to McCaffrey in the passing game, and he's highly efficient. I mean, he had 7 catches on 7 targets. But also, you know, any team you play now, when they talk about the passing game, they're going to talk about McCaffrey. Like, they're worried about him coming out of the backfield. They're worried about where he lines up. And I think that does help to open up things like Kittle, like we saw last night.
Yeah, and I mean, just an extension of that. I mean, Kittle, it's four receptions, but it's two touchdowns. It's Ayuk, four targets, two receptions, both go for touchdowns. It allows, I think, and I want to get your take on this, the other players to be more productive, maybe with fewer opportunities.
1,000%. Yep. I mean, it all goes together, right? It all goes hand in hand. And last night, they looked really good. And they have a bunch of different weapons. They have two good receivers. Kittle looked as good as he has in a while. We know what McCaffrey can do now there. I will say this. I don't know if you guys have seen my tweets today, at Ross Tucker NFL. The Niner love is a little bit much today.
Okay.
I mean, do I think they're a good team? Yeah. But for like the whole night last night, all morning this morning, every tweet is like, oh, look out for the Niners. Watch out. Here they come. Uh-oh, it's Niner time. Like, they're the team nobody wants to play. They're clearly the best team in the NFC. It's like, wait. I watched the week before against the Chargers, who, by the way, had no D tackles by the end of the game. And Justin Herbert didn't have any receivers. And they still barely beat the Chargers in that game. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from what the Niners did last night, but I think, to me, what the Cowboys did in Minnesota, destroying the Vikings right from the get-go. I mean, as one side of an NFL game as you'll ever see right from the start, that's not what the game was last. I mean, last night was 17-10 at halftime. They pulled away. Niners were better. Niners are good. But I feel like everybody acting like all of a sudden the Niners are going to the Super Bowl and winning it needs to pump the brakes a little bit.
All right, so Ross, along those lines, I mean, how much of last night specifically was the Cardinals and being where they are, and what do you need to see from the Niners moving forward? I mean, they do play Miami and Tampa and Seattle and Washington coming up here as the next month moves forward, but what do you have to see that makes it more real for you?
Well, just do it over and over again. It's not, if they just keep doing what they did last night, that'd be great. But they got to show they can do that. I mean, they haven't shown they can do that on a consistent basis, even since they got McCaffrey. And I thought a lot of last night was the Cardinals. I mean, they're starting a backup quarterback. You know, they don't have some of their receivers like Hollywood Brown. Then, you know, late in the game, a lot of those guys clearly didn't want to be there anymore. They definitely didn't want to try to tackle Kittle on his second touchdown. So, I don't know, it's a good win. It's a good win, but not even close to the win that the Cowboys had. Cowboys did it on the road against the 8-1 team, and they pulled all their starters in the third quarter. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get why people are fawning more over the Niners last night than they did over the Cowboys on Sunday.
It's a good question. I was going to say the defense, but my Dallas' defense is great too. I think it's a fact that the 49ers, I think people think they have pedigree because they've been to the NFC Championship two of the last 3 years and the Super Bowl once. You know what I mean?
I think that's probably a factor, yeah. And it probably helps that, you know, there was a bunch of other games on Sunday. There's a bunch of other things to talk about. You know, there was a night game after the Cowboys played between the Chargers and the Chiefs. That was an awesome game. So I think that's probably a factor as well, whereas last night was a standalone game that everybody was watching. It always gets a little bit more hype than anything that happens really on Sunday.
Hey, Ross, we know you do work in Philadelphia covering the Eagles. How do you compare the Eagles to the 49ers?
Similar. I'd say pretty similar. They both have a couple of really good receivers. They both have a really good tight end. I think the Eagles' offensive line is better. I like the element of Hurts being able to run more than Jimmy. Defensively, they've played really, really well this year. I mean, I think they've given up more than 17 points on defense once the whole year. I mean, they've played really, really well. I know there was like a pick six or whatever. The opener, they gave up 31 to the Lions. and I can't remember how many they gave up to the Commanders, but similar, I would say. I think the Eagles have been more consistent, obviously, throughout the year, but they're not playing their best football right now, and the Niners, as of last night, are. So, yeah, that's the way it goes. Yep. We've got the flavor of the month, but the reality is it doesn't really matter who's playing their best ball right now. I mean, it matters who plays their best ball in January.
Do you think the Niners are the kind of team that could go in and beat the Eagles in Philly in the playoffs, I guess, is the way I'll ask it?
Yeah, I do. I think they're capable of it. I think the Vikings and Cowboys and Bucks, I think they're all probably capable of it. I don't know that I see it happening. I mean, they would have to play really, really well in that game. It's going to be tough to win in Philly in the playoffs. And I'd be surprised at this point if the Eagles don't get home field advantage. I mean, they only have one loss. You know, I know the Vikings have two, but the Eagles also beat them head-to-head. So they really have two games up on the Vikings.
So,
and the Eagles' schedule isn't that intimidating moving forward. So, you know, I think they'll probably win like 14 games, probably like 14-3.
Wow. So let me just see if I got this right. You think there's about four or five teams that can go to the Super Bowl from the NFC, and the 49ers are one of them. But you're not calling them the prohibitive favorites at this point.
Definitely not. I'm not even calling them the best team in the NFC. Those are two different things. So,
all right.
There are people calling them, you know, like today on my betting podcast, on the Even Money podcast, my co-host, Steve Fezzik, called them the best team in the NFC. So I am certainly not ready or willing to go there. And they're definitely not the prohibitive favorite because they're going to have a tougher road. And they're going to have to win, more than likely, a couple of road playoff games. Certainly they're capable of it. They did it last year. But I don't really know, guys. Like, I don't know if that makes me think that they're more likely to do that again or not.
Yeah,
it's hard to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one.
I mean, okay, so they won a couple road playoff games last year. Does that mean they're going to do it again this year? Probably not, would be my guess. I just don't think they are good enough as an offensive line. I don't think their quarterback's good enough. It's certainly possible. They got a lot of weapons. They got a really good defense. But that's asking a lot to ask Jimmy G to win, you know, whatever it would be, three more playoff games, including two more on the road.
Yeah. All right, Ross, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
Likewise, I will be in Dallas, so if you're driving around listening to the Cowboys-Giants game, should be fun. They got great press box food in Dallas. So
yeah, we got
quite my mom's sausage filling in Pennsylvania, but it'll have to do. It's good.
Nice. We have that game right here on 95.7 The Game, Ross, so we're looking forward to it, man.
Love it. See you guys.
All right, that's Ross Tucker. Uh-oh. He might have gotten 49er fans upset.
Well, they shouldn't be considered the best team in the NFC right now.
Well, no, not right now. But I didn't want to quibble. But the thing that does matter right now is you stack some wins, you're going to be in you're going to get home field. Like the 49ers have
for the first round at least.
Right.
I mean, but they, to his point, I mean, if you're the 3 seed, it depends on who wins.
Right.
But if you're the 3 seed and the chalk plays out, you're going to have to go. You'd have to go to Minnesota and Philly. Let's say
exactly
if both of those teams win.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's open up the phone lines again, along with the Xfinity Mobile text line. Ross Tucker, concerned about the 49ers' offensive line and whether Jimmy Garoppolo's good enough. Good enough.
I do have a theory on why the 49ers have been getting so much love today and why it may come out as a little bit over the top. You want to hear that theory?
Yeah, of course.
I think it in part is because I think you have to go back to the summer,
right.
And I think there were a lot of people, if you remember, and this was even when Trey Lance was going to be the starting quarterback. I think there were a lot of people that had the Niners as a favorite this year, had the Niners as a team to beat, had the Niners as a Super Bowl contender, and it looked 6 weeks into the year like, this team's a disappointment. I think there are a lot of people that kind of went in on the Niners. And it wasn't looking great. And now that it is looking great, I think you've got a lot of people coming back to hey, I was in on the Niners. Look at the Niners.
Right, right.
The Niners. That's a team. So I think that's some of it. Some of it is it's just the recency bias of they've had a few wins in front of the camera. You know, I don't even think last night, Monday night, but the week before, Sunday night, I think that plays a role. And they beat the Rams before that. And remember, you know, that was a late game, but that was the game where McCaffrey went off, had a rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown. And so they've been at the forefront. And that was before anybody thought the Rams stunk. You know, now the Rams may stink, but they didn't. Right. We thought the Rams stunk then. That was kind of a big game.
I got a question for you and for Bay Area fans. What do you have more confidence in? The 49ers continuing to play this well and being a factor in the postseason, or the Golden State Warriors turning it around? We have more confidence. And I asked Kyle Madsen that question before the show, and he goes, "Oh my God, the Niners!" And I was like, "Really? We're giving up on the Golden State Warrior championship squad?
Well,
coming back, bouncing back?"
I was gonna ask you to define what does come around mean.
That means,
you know, because this is where I'm kind of like
wins,
you.
45 to 50 wins.
So the question is, are you more confident that the Niners can get to the NFC Championship game than you are that the Warriors can win 48 games?
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Okay. Well, that was a half-decent question. Because I always looked to split the answer.
That's pretty close. I mean, right now it looks better for the Niners.
Sure.
But you know what? A week from now, it might look better for the Warriors. I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, but it's a good question. I think it's closer than you may think. I'd probably lean Niners at this point. But again, one bad game, two bad games.
True. A couple texts from the Xfinity Mobile text line. 925, how much does it irk Stein? He'd have to talk Warriors. And I'm sorry, 49ers instead of rip the world. Oh, come on. But the funny thing is I'm getting grief here from some fans. And it really shouldn't be getting grief, JD. Out the 49ers before the season were a team that was impossible to gauge. Because they were heading into the season with a rookie quarterback, essentially, second-year quarterback. Like, that just never made sense to me, how the 49ers thought they were going to do those two things, compete for a Super Bowl and bring Trey Lance along slowly. So I just wasn't feeling it. All right, so they get Garoppolo in there. And obviously they went to the NFC Championship game last year, but got off to a sputtering start. The trade for Christian McCaffrey has changed things. I mean, that has absolutely changed things. And to me now, you can talk about the 49ers, to me, more realistically than you could 3 or 4 weeks ago. They weren't a Super Bowl team 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't think.
No, they were 3-4.
And so,
and they got smoked by Kansas City in McCaffrey's first game.
Exactly.
I mean, you think about it. And, yeah, they had the bye week mixed in there. So that was a month ago tomorrow was that game. I think October the 23rd, if memory serves, and my memory tends to, that they were in shambles, basically.
Right.
I mean, the Chiefs, you get McCaffrey, then the Chiefs throttle you. You just gotten hammered by Atlanta. Your defense stunk. And now you look since then, the defense hasn't allowed a second-half point
in a month.
Over the course of three games. So they've gotten that back on track, and now the offense looks... McCaffrey has allowed the 49ers offense to look as if you would have expected it to look without him, to be perfectly honest, right? Because that's the thing that comes out. Like, the Niner offense has functioned more like we always talk about the Twitter tape guys wanted
right.
all to look like.
Right.
Right? Oh, it's going to be this and that. And, like, you saw a little of that last night. There was a little of the Kyle's in his bag. And you know, some of the breakdowns even on the broadcast of how this is so creative. Well, why wasn't it creative up until that point?
Maybe
they Christian
added McCaffrey.
23.
Yeah.
They added 23.
Ryan. Ryan wants to talk about who he's more confident in. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Save their season.
Good, guys. How about yourself? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, man. Same to you.
Hey, definitely more confident with the Niners.
Okay.
They the pickup of McCarthy totally made him stronger. Jimmy G's playing pretty steady. Best defense in football. Warriors look old. They're not in sync. Defensively, they're not going to stop the better teams late in the season, certainly playoffs. So definitely going with the Niners.
Appreciate the call, Ryan. I think I got to agree with him now. What, you know what? I think here's what it is. Here's what it is, JD. If I were to say this, I don't know. Bottom line is this. 49ers weren't a Super Bowl team until they got McCaffrey. Now they're a Super Bowl team. That team without McCaffrey was not winning it. Not with that offense. Not with nobody that you can rely on. See, I know I'm going to get killed on this, JD, but before McCaffrey, who was the one player on the 49ers you could count on offensively every single game?
You couldn't.
Exactly.
And people are going to yell at you and say Debo.
Debo!
Right.
But it wasn't the case.
But even when Debo is carrying you, he's only literally carrying it a dozen times. Maybe 10 or 12. But as we saw, JD, you can't run him all that much.
Well, and I think teams were ready for that as the primary.
I do, too.
Like, it was two things. Make Jimmy beat you and
right.
Take Debo away. Like, I think the opposition would look at the Niners and say, take the Debo running game away, number one. Kittle, because of the offensive line issues, is going to cover himself, in essence. Right? Not really his fault, but the way they have to play. And then we're going to make Garoppolo beat us. And, you know, for the most part, Garoppolo can't do that unless the other things are functioning.
Right, right.
So you're taking enough away. And then you don't, and then we're having conversations about how they don't have as many weapons as you think they have at once you start taking that. So McCaffrey has unlocked all of it. Yeah. It's been a game changer. I've said it, and I said it, and I felt kind of bad saying it. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just stand up on the table and say, again, and say it louder, Christian McCaffrey saved the 49ers season. That acquisition gave them life, and now the sky's the limit.
How about this? I'm gonna stand tall too. You know what this is showing to me? That I was right about the 49ers skill position players. They weren't good enough collectively till they got Christian McCaffrey. Now they got a foundation. Now they have a guy to go to consistently over the course of the game. And now you can sprinkle in Kittle and Ayuk and Debo and Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
And they're more effective because they're not asked to do as much. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Christian McCaffrey. Has he saved the 49ers season? Let's go to Kevin, quick, in San Francisco. Hey, Kevin. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, Steiny. Hey, John. How you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I think just quickly, I wanted to touch on two things. First, Steiny, I want to answer your question.
Okay.
I think the Warriors are the defending champs. Been to the finals five times in the last 7 years, and the Niners haven't won a Super Bowl in 28 years. So I actually think this answer is very easy. The Golden State Warriors. But also,
all right.
I just wanted to call back and respond to John saying that he wanted to bang his head against the wall when that caller called in yesterday saying he was excited to watch the young guys play on the Warriors. First, I'm that caller. I don't know if John, hey, I don't know if you met me yet. Steiny, I think, knows me a little bit better. But I want to say Bob Myers commented that you're a stats guy, so I think you and I would actually really get along.
Sure, of
that
course.
Said, if you dug into the scenario for yesterday a little bit more, you would have realized Warriors were on the second half of a back-to-back, no Clay, playing a legitimate Pelicans team on the road who's on the last game of their sixth straight home game stand on 3 days rest. So I think I trust four-time champ Steve Kerr that he knew it was a good time to try to give the bench some extra minutes and try to get them in a groove, right, on a tough game early in the season that they probably had a low chance of winning, low probability of winning in the first place, in the hopes to try to think that it's going to help them long term. But, you know, obviously nobody liked what they saw last night. I truly think it was the right decision. And I think true Warrior fans like myself are actually excited to see these young guys try to develop. I mean, heck, I'm a deep Warriors fan. I used to watch Warriors games with Bobby Sir in the lineup. I mean, I used to watch those struggles. So watching this team struggle is nothing. I think it's actually fun, and I actually have hope that they're going to be able to help this team and future teams as well.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate
it. Fair enough.
Careful with...
I think Kevin and I would get along fine.
Careful with
We'd
Bobby.
Get along great.
Any Bobby Sura slander. That's a Pennsylvania product.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Scranton.
I didn't know
In fact,
that.
I... Actually, give me the drop. Group. I talked to him last week.
Last week?
Yeah, I talked to Sura last week.
You kept in touch with him?
Yeah, of course.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's got a young...
How old is Bob Sura now? Like 47, maybe?
I think younger than that, believe
really?
It or not.
Five,
yeah.
Not six,
nice.
Not seven.
Nice. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get into the San Francisco 49ers. Is that a Super Bowl team that you watched last night? And if it is, why? Is it because Garoppolo's doing his thing? Is it because of the addition of Christian McCaffrey? Is it the defense? Tell me why this is a Super Bowl team now as opposed to a month ago. 888-957-9570 is the number. And it's all sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.